Man, you are one pathetic loser.
If you disrespect everybody that you're running to, how in the world do you think everybody's supposed to respect you?
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Drinking to Forget show.
I didn't realize that was the name of the show.
It just came to me. There's just so much things going on, you know, in the world today. Good things.
Well, we have a beer to drink while we're forgetting.
That's right.
Before we forget to mention the beer, since 1679, it's the Triple Carmelite.
Is that it?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's going to be real difficult for us to say the name of the brewery. It's like Brewerij Botsteels.
Close enough.
Do you want to try that one?
I don't even know where it is. I'm looking at the label.
Brouwerij Botsteels. Botsteels.
Okay, well, you said. It says Triple Carmelite, one of them. And
yep.
That's tasty. We've actually been drinking it for a little while now. Mine's almost gone.
Yeah, me too.
Beer
Advocate has an alcohol by volume of 8%. It gave them an A- out of 484 reviews.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's downright tasty. It's a three-grain beer.
And it says that on the label, wheat, barley, and oat. And I guess that's what gives it that kind of it's got a mouthfeel to it, a little texture to it. It's good. And
it says a treble enjoyment with triple carmelite still brewed to an authentic beer recipe from 1679, originating in former Carmelite monastery in Dendermonde.
Yep.
Written over 300 years ago, this recipe describes the use of three kinds of grain: wheat, oats, and barley.
That's good stuff. Mine's all gone now.
Good. Okay.
I got more.
A couple swallows ahead of me then.
Now it poured a gigantic head, though. I mean, I was using my official New Belgium snifter, and it filled that thing, I mean, half and half. And I wasn't pouring aggressively. I was just pouring. And, jeez, it was a pillowy head.
The website bestbelgianspecialbeers.be actually tells you how to pour it.
And do they recommend a glass?
It says to hold the glass at a slight tilt. Fill the glass, bearing in mind the following pouring tips. Pour gently. The head must reach from the top of the lilies to the brim of the glass. I don't know what that means. Oh, that's if you're pouring in their glass.
Oh, like
they
a tulip?
Marked.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have that here on the little marker on the New Belgium glass, too.
It says leave approximately 5 millimeters of beer in bottle, which contains the yeast deposit.
I believe I did that myself. I did.
I neglected to do that, so I'm drinking the yeast.
All right, do you have sediment?
Not so bad, but it's a little cloudy.
Mine was clear as could be. This is very nice, a lovely kind of a buttery gold color, and the head was white, with alternating sizes of bubbles, which is kind of interesting. It had some giant fat bubbles and some little fine ones, and so I didn't really get quite the lacing like you get off of some of these Belgian beers, but it's a very interesting head and a pretty color, and smelled just gentle, and it drank very nice, and the 8%'s working for me.
It has a really nice mouthfeel.
Of course, I've been jumping around today because, like I said, I'm drinking to forget. There's just stuff going on, and I mean everywhere. God, everywhere you turn, right? And so, you know, I'm taking time off, and I'm wandering around, and I thought, okay, I want something. And so I start off with a hoppy monster. Big, you know, hot punch in the face, almost 9% alcohol, and that sat with me pretty good. I want something different. And so I cracked open a Flemish ale, And then I drank it. And then later on, I said, oh, I want something else. And I had an Old Goose, an old Lambic Goose blend. And now I'm on. Here I am thinking about getting my Belgian on.
You should be pretty well primed.
I spread this out over the day.
So the Big Hoppy Monster, that's who brews that?
Terrapin.
Terrapin, okay.
Yeah, out of Atlanta by way of, I think, New Jersey.
No, Delaware.
Delaware, that's it, okay.
Yeah.
Now, but it was, you know, they were all good in their own way, but I was wanting a Belgium. I think the Belgium one and the Abbey style and the, you know, the church affiliations with it. This is a calming beer. I don't know.
Think so too.
There's too much stuff going on. There's too much tension. What we were talking about earlier, all the food going away, the political bullshit out there.
Yeah.
God, the lies coming at you hot and heavy and finger pointing. And I can't stand politics. I mean, this time of year and especially now. Jeez.
There are food riots going on.
Yeah.
The Chinese stopped exporting their rice, and that's a major staple of a large portion of the world. And the cost of food is going up, and they're getting priced out, so people are starting to starve to death. And that's an angry mob.
Yeah.
A hungry mob's an angry mob.
And you said Rick at Pacific Brew News had commented about how it's affecting the macro swill.
Well, the largest consumer of rice in the United States is Anheuser-Busch. So they're pumping all of that butt and butt light. So the major ingredient of that is rice.
So if you took them out with a well-placed nuclear strike, two things would occur. There would be a surplus of rice for the rest of the world, and people who drank beer would have to drink good beer.
Yes, they would.
Hmm.
And they should start buying locally because the cost of transportation is going up, so the local beer should be relatively cheaper.
Yeah. That just may be it. Maybe we need a federal mandate to dismantle Anheuser-Busch.
The whole economy of beer is going on right here.
This could positively affect the rest of the world. And there's almost no downside. The people who would be put out of jobs could then get jobs. Of course, they're probably low-wage jobs anyway, hustling beer, shit beer around. They could pick up routes with the other distributors who would now have their hands full getting the good beer out to the masses.
And people would have to develop taste.
And speaking of taste, let's segue to our first musical bit. This is a guy we did a great interview with a while back, Chris Thomas King. You saw him in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Ray, a couple other movies, a very talented blues guy from New Orleans. And he recently put out an album called Live from Beale Street. I think it came out last month. And this is Chris Thomas King doing I'll Play the Blues for You.
Cross, yeah. How's everybody doing tonight? You know, loneliness is a mighty bad thing, and I've heard that loneliness blowing some really good people's minds. Think about it. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say hell yeah. You know, we all the way up here from New Orleans, y'all. Our first time in Memphis. All right. We heard a lot about Beale Street, y'all. We're glad to be a part of it all. Welcome to Blue Star.
That was one of those things where 5 minutes turned into 45 minutes. Couldn't have been nicer. He's definitely a man with an agenda to save at least his part of the planet, New Orleans.
Yeah. So I remember it well. He was walking the streets of Los Angeles and very active in the blues scene. And he is coming off his movie with...
Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and he was in Ray, and he did another deal, so I hadn't heard of him doing anything acting lately, but that was an interesting song, because it was I'll Play the Blues for You, which was originally done by Albert King, no relation, but of course a hugely respected blues player. So it's very cool, very good take on a classic song. And I got a take on a Belgian-style quad here, because we are drinking to forget. And I poured the Reverend from right around the corner from you at Avery Brewing Company, one of our favorites, at least my favorite. And this is one I've had from the tap there and out of the bottle here, and... if this doesn't make you forget, nothing will. This guy is, I'm manning up for a 1.6 fluid ounces all by myself, 10% alcohol. What could possibly go wrong?
That's a big beer.
It's a big beer.
Yeah, they're, Avery is doing an insider tasting series next, it's May 14th, and the subject is Belgians. So hopefully they'll have a little bit reverend.
Oh, they got, you know, they really do get into them. Although this one, I just poured it. I'd let it sit out. I think it still is a little too cool because my glass is frosting up some. But high alcohol beers and big heads don't seem to go together. This head just went away in a heartbeat. And the color on this is like a dark orange, almost ruby in color. It's a very dark beer. And you can smell malts and a little fruit coming off of the top. It's got a great nose to it. Fruit and is the word.
The Reverend is one of their series, right?
Yeah. I forget what it is now that you said that. But it's like the, we did this a while back, our good versus evil. This is funny. It says on the side of the bottle, it says, created by God, brewed by something, enjoyed by all. Oh, brewed by Satan, enjoyed by all. No, feared by Satan. I'm sorry. This is old English script. Okay, brewed by God, feared by Satan, enjoyed by all. The Reverend, a Belgian-style quadruple ale, and what's it say on the other side? Reverend Luther Tucker. Okay.
Right, and I'm willing to bet they pair that with Hog Heaven Salvation.
Yeah.
To make that series, because they have the Dictator series, and then they have their Demonic series, and then they have the Heavenly series, I guess. I don't know.
That must be what this is. The Heavenly series. And I've started drinking on it, and it's got a, you wouldn't know it's 10%. It's got, even in the drinking, I've got some fruits and a little clove, and it's a great taste. And very smooth and complex, and yeah, this is what I was needing right here.
Well, I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I'm drinking Avery Samael's Ale,
yeah,
which is from the Demonic series. So you're doing the good thing. I'm doing the bad thing today.
There you go.
This alcohol by volume, 14.5%, 41 IBUs. It's an oak-aged English strong ale with Columbus and Fuggles for hops, two-row barley, caramel, 150 Lovibond. So.
Yeah, I don't know what the love bond on this is, but it's got to be high because it's a dark. Well, yours is probably real dark, right?
It's, well, yeah, it's a nice golden or deep copper, I would say. Yours has caramel 15 love bond and caramel 40 love. And Belgian Special B. They put a lot of Special B in their beers.
Yeah. What's up with that?
It's
Special B's a lot of caramel. Yeah, that I was going to say. It's a good beer, but I mean a good malt, but I wonder if you can overdo it. Although with this kind of alcohol, I guess you need that, though, to kind of tone down some of the alcohol flavors you might get. And this has got zip. I mean, there is no alcohol burn, nothing. This is a way to brew a super industrial strength beer. I got nothing. No burn at all.
Yeah, the Samuels I'm drinking right now is a 2008, so it's still kind of highly alcoholic, but it's still very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I love this beer. This is one of those you can put down for years, and you know it just gets better and better.
Now, I'm looking on Beer Advocate and some of the reviews for the Reverend. It's kind of interesting. So, you know, I was doing this off of what I saw, observed. Here's one of them. It said, poured from the same bottle I'm using into a goblet. Beer is a red color. I said a ruby with a slight chill haze. That was my comment about maybe it was a little too cold. Head was one finger thick after an overly careful pour and was off white. Of course, he got more of a head than me. Smell, light fruits dominate the nose with a hint of strawberry and citrus. Sweet sugar is evident. So there we go. We're the same. The taste is his introduction is nice and slightly sweet with hints of light fruits. This is where apparently we differ. Finish is medicinal and sugary with the alcohol rudely making its way known. Not very pleasant going down. And that is not at all what I've got. So I'm guessing I've got an older bottle that's maybe had a little time to settle.
to blend, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Avery site says it's a divinely complex and beautifully layered beer with hints of dark cherries, currants, and molasses, complemented by an underlying spiciness and a finish that is sinfully smooth.
Yeah. I'm kind of flipping through here. Everybody is getting the fruit. There's some really interesting baked apples and just all kinds of little and beautiful crimson color with shades of orange. Okay. So we all kind of, it's really interesting looking at some of these where we see the different takes, right, on the same beer. And I think with these bigger beers, you really those, depending on when you get it, you might get eat up with alcohol or not. Overall, though, you read this, right? They gave it a B+, and which with their weird scale now, I'm not really sure what that means numerically, but B+, I think I would probably give it a little higher myself, but it's not, I wouldn't say that's punishing it. It's excellent for what I would perceive the style, but when you get into quads, you're getting into weird areas anywhere where things can deviate, right? So,
yeah.
But anyway.
Well, the only opinion that counts is your own as far as beer tasting.
That's exactly right. I was looking, when I was out, I was working on this beer database and putting in some of them, and of course I was borrowing Beer Advocate to get the commercial, Rate Beer to get the commercial description, so I didn't have to go to 1,000 websites.
Yeah.
And as I'm plugging some of these things in, I was familiar with a lot of them. Some I was totally unfamiliar with. And some of the ones I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. And then I look in the number, and it was like 12 out of 100. It was, according to Rate Beer, the most god-awful rat piss you could drink. Right? So I thought, well, somebody's got to like it. I mean, you couldn't keep it on the shelves
right.
If it sucked that bad, but.
Well, that kind of leads me into something that's kind of got my goat lately. It's very much annoying me. Are these stupid actors coming on TV telling me what to think, it's Earth Week right now.
Oh, so God.
They're just parading them out. It's like, here's dumb shit actor number one
telling
me that I'm not good and I'm living wrong or whatever. He's not even saying that. He's just telling me what to think. And I don't appreciate that because basically these guys are monkeys who are reading from a script, right?
That's right. And they trotted out. And, of course, I cannot stand Oprah Winfrey. And I said earlier today, there's a special place in hell for her. Anybody who says, oh, but she's a wonderful woman. No, she isn't. She's fucking rich. That's it.
She's the most powerful woman in the United States.
No, she's not.
I'd be interested in knowing why you don't like her.
Effect a change in health care. Nope, she can't do it. Well, I'll tell you why I don't like her. And maybe this should be mandatory for people making a certain amount of money. She's pimping out that show, Oprah's Big Give.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she started it, right? Oh, I'm going to give away cars to everybody. I'm going to give away meat, or I'm going to give away this, that. If you look at the intake that woman gets and the amount of money she gives away, it is far less percentage-wise than you give to your church. So that, to me, says she's just a pretentious bitch who's hoarding her money. And now she's not going to give it away. She's going to say, oh, we're going to do wonderful things for everybody. I'm going to empower people who aren't as rich as me to take a tiny little squinch of my fortune and give it away as if it was their own money. Well, that's just bullshit. I mean, some of the things we were talking about. If you got that much kind of money, you should be obligated to do something with it. Here's some, what does she make? How many millions, right? I mean, millions, and we're talking probably hundreds of millions the Oprah Enterprise brings in. If it were not billions, I'd be shocked. But let's just say for a minute that she took one half of the money and did something with it. That could make an enormous impact on anything. Pick anything, research for diseases, just buy fucking groceries. for the poor people. You know, anything. So people like that, what you said, celebrities telling you how to think, that's insidious. But people who are parading around and acting like they're good, wise, and benevolent, that's just hypocrisy at its highest. And they should be beat soundly with a big stick. Take all their money.
Here's something that I found interesting today, and you can cut this if you want because it's kind of politically charged.
No.
But you know how they're saying, oh, God, we're throwing all this money away on defense and the war and, you know, yada, yada. Well, we're spending four times as much as we're spending four times as much on healthcare as we do for national defense.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an incredible amount of money that's going into healthcare, and if you hear the politicians talk, we are the most degenerate country in the world as far as healthcare goes, and we're the worst warmongering people in the world.
Well, what do you mean?
The numbers don't match.
What do you mean degenerate? And like we don't provide good healthcare, or we're
exactly
just,
right.
Well,
we're like 26th of the industrialized nations or something.
Well, see, I think that depends on whose statistics you look at, because being in healthcare, I get to see both sides of the coin. And so, yeah, it's ridiculous. It is just totally ridiculous that you can go to Canada or Mexico and buy the exact brand of cough syrup for far, far less. Over-the-counter drugs cost far less. So why? Why do they? Well, it's because of a lot of the archaic healthcare things put into place. It has to do with the insurers. And this is what people don't realize. Your doctor bills you this outrageous amount of money. The fact of the matter is, doctors do not see that money. If a doctor gets, think about this, take any other business, and if you had a business where your clients walked in and said, I'm not going to pay you. I'm going to give you this little place. I'm going to give you like $5, and you're going to have to trust that this insurance company who you don't know and you're powerless to defend against, they might pay you the amount of money you're billing. Okay?
Some amount of money, whatever they feel like paying you is what they pay you.
It's exactly right, and it's far less than you think. A hospital might bill you $10,000 for your operation. The insurer says, well, we're only going to pay you $5,000. And, you know, if you don't like it, tough shit. Now, of that $5,000, if and when they ever get around to paying it, does the doctor get any of it? No, not necessarily. He has to fill out paperwork as well for the surgery performed. He doesn't get jack shit for whatever he took in or put took out or put in to you. And as it turns out, the capture rate for doctors, that means that the amount of money they get for putting in their billing, is usually around 30%. So you think about that. One out of 3.3 people might pay you, if you're lucky. So they're screwed. Now, on top of that, they and I think we were talking about tort reform and stuff earlier, the amount of malpractice. If you live in Illinois, you got one of the lowest malpractice rates in the entire United States. It's probably only $100,000 a year.
That's insane.
So
that's a good living for a lot of people right there.
Yeah. So you know, everybody thinks rich doctors. There haven't been any rich doctors since like the 60s.
Now, actually, I just read that doctors have the highest suicide rate.
Well, yeah.
Out of any profession.
Yeah. I mean, you can lose your ass.
You think they've got the world by the balls, but I guess they don't.
Well, and they're, you know, I feel sorry for them because they're gone in. They spend god awful long time being molded into this entity where once outside the hospital, some of these people are like non-functioning. You know, it's up to their spouses to direct them. I know a lot of these guys, though, who aren't, and so it's not a slight against all doctors, but it is not an easy job. And then the healthcare, those bastards. So, okay, look on the other side of the fence. Canada, socialized medicine. Right? If you go in and you've got a horrible back disorder, okay, and you need to go see a spine surgeon, all right, in the U.S., we have roughly, we've got like 12,000 or so on the books. In Canada, you have hundreds, not thousands of them, because they don't stay there. They leave because the doctors get paid jack shit. They're not making six-figure incomes. And because of socialized medicine, you have to wait. So you have to sign up for your back problem. Instead of it being 6 weeks, it'll be 2 years. And that's just the fact of the matter. So I don't know where some of these people get their figures from. If you go to the Mayo Clinic and you look in the parking lot, there's an ass load of Canadian license plates. Because they, if they want quality health care in a timely manner, they have to pay for it.
I've had government-provided health care when I was in the Navy. And I can tell you, you wait around for 4 or 5 hours to get a little spritzer of a cough suppressant and a couple Sudafeds. Well, you know, 4 hours of your time to get that.
Yeah.
Just think if the DMV was running healthcare, that's pretty much what you're getting with socialized medicine. So if you liked the DMV, then you should love socialized medicine.
And it's not that it isn't a good concept. The idea is wonderful. Quality healthcare for everyone, regardless of income. I mean, what's wrong with that? But the fact of the matter is, socialism still doesn't work. It's a no one has ever said it's a bad idea. It's just that it doesn't work. Not in a capitalist society, and that's what we're in. God bless America.
Well, it denies basic human drive, and that's greed.
Yeah, and so you got
to get ahead, and they will work harder to get ahead if they're. If they can't get ahead, then they're not going to work any harder.
Well, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. And let it sit there like the turd in the punch bowl. Do you know when all this shit really started going bad? It was during Bill Clinton's presidency. When to get his wife off his ass and distract her from Monica, he said, Hillary, why don't you go fuck around with health care? And that's when it all began. The things that are in place now, the HIPAA guidelines, all of these rules and regulations, that's what she started unwittingly, unknowingly meddling in, and it fucked the system up. So now that's my biased healthcare view, right? Because I'm in that. But you can ask any doctor. There won't be anyone in the medical profession ever voting for Hillary Clinton because they know what she's capable of screwing up. Now, given that, you said something earlier about Oprah being the most powerful woman. I don't think Oprah's going to know to, she wouldn't go meddling around in it. She'd hire somebody to tell her, right? Probably the fitness expert and Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. They'd all get together and say, okay, here's what we need to do. At least I got to give her credit for knowing when to bring an expert in and not to try and figure this mess out herself. So there's that. But we sure
okay,
got.
Well, these have been the opinions of two middle-aged white men.
Beer-fueled opinions.
I love it.
This is a morose motherfucker right here. So how's that Sam Mail?
It's almost gone. It's wow. It's rich and deep and
yum,
highly alcoholic and just very much warming, and I've got a good feeling all over.
You know what? I the problem I got with these big beers, and I've been sending you as I'm populating this beer thing, these ones, like I see, come across this one and I send it to you and say, oh, this sounds good, yum. Mm-hmm. Is they all recommend, oh, this will cellar well. Lay this one down. It's like, no, I want it now.
Well, there are two schools of thought. I mean, some people, I mean, the brewers themselves, they don't want you to let a beer sit more than a month or two on the shelf because it oxidizes. Some of the bigger beers, obviously, they get a little more complex, but you start getting the oxidation characters as time goes on, you know, the kind of cardboard or cidery taste.
Now, is that on a shelf versus in refrigeration?
It pretty much, you know, it's slower with refrigeration. You got to treat your beer right, but a lot of people don't. You know, the beer gets abused to hell and back before it gets on the shelf in your liquor store or wherever you're buying it from.
Sure.
And if it's not refrigerated there, then, you know, it's even worse. But, you know, the brewers themselves, they know how to read the age code on the bottles and all that.
Yeah.
They don't drink beers over 6 months old, typically.
Okay, but now, like, we've got a bottle of beer coming up when you come back. What, couple of 1 week away, right?
Yes.
We're cracking that beer that Jeffrey T, our forefather of beer podcast and great friend of the show, gave us the Vertical Epic from 2003.
Nice. 333?
Yep.
Stone Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's going to be kind of interesting. That's going to be pushing 5 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I've had it. I put it in my refrigerator. I don't know where he had it.
That was designed to be laid down. You're right.
Okay, but then that goes to what you were talking about. If we're going to lay down a beer, it's got to be high alcohol. It's got to have the hops for the preservative, not that you'll necessarily taste them. And I understand that the flavors are going to, like the Reverend that I'm drinking now. I mean, I have no alcohol burn. And yet, we know it's eat up with alcohol. So I would think this would be, I don't know if this would be one you could lay down or not. Obviously, mine has settled more so than some of our folks at Beer Advocate, right?
One of the things you can do to help preserve a beer is to dip the, you know, the neck into wax. That'll certainly help reduce the oxidation. But I think it's Boyle's Law is the physics principle where gases will equalize.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually oxygen will sneak into your beer. Hmm. You know, it's just a natural fact of physics. It's going to happen.
So yeah. Yeah. Well,
the idea is to delay that. Before we sign out, I think we're just doing two segments, right?
Nah, hell no. We're going for three.
All right.
I got one more. I was just trying to multitask here and look through and pick. I was trying to find something that because this kind of segues into what we were drinking, and we were talking about the good and evil and all of that. I got a nice little blues number, a little Texas blues, classic blues song, Bad Seed, and this is done by Omar and the Howlers.
You know I've always been a bad seed, drifted everywhere the wind blows. Now I ain't got much to show. You know you reap just what you sow. Now I was born to be a loner, tried to settle for a spell. Had an angel in my car. Now there's no need to try and help me. I don't try to help myself. I cling to losing her. Empty heart is all that's left. Bad seed, there's a darkness I can't. much pain to keep inside. Betsy, there's a darkness I can't hide. Betsy, too much pain to keep inside.
Omar, I like that kind of Texas driving blues. And when I think of that driving blues, I think of more late at night driving, not so much high energy driving. But that guy's got a distinctive voice, very guttural, very cool. And I'm still drinking on my Reverend. I'm not pounding it down as fast as I could. You were...
Well, you're actually trying to behave.
Well, yeah, within reason.
And you were a little bit pre-lubricated, so.
Yeah, I've been pacing it through the day, so.
I have decided to catch up with you, and I am enjoying the Big Hoppy Monster from Terrapin Beer Company, Athens, Georgia.
And you're
brewed in Frederick, Maryland.
okay, Maryland. There's where it is. I knew it wasn't Georgia. But
that's where Flying Dog moved to also. So I'm thinking there's probably a pretty good tax deal there.
That's what I was going to say. We can't really hold it against brewers who live here but brew there. There's a lot of that going on. Our own local Naked Lion with their copper flask ale, which I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what the distribution of that is. It would not be... my most favorite drinking ale. I would think women might like it. It's very sweet. But what I'd tell you what I do like it for, Rick, is making bratwurst. Oh, my God. It is the best beer for cooking with that. It cooks down. It's got, it's just great for that. And
now, what's it called?
Naked Lion is the brewer, and Copper Flask is the beverage that they make.
I'm not familiar with them.
Well, they're from here, and he's contract brewing with in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I don't know what kind of a distribution he's got, but you can buy it all over Memphis.
Okay, and, great.
It's one of those beers that they put out in clear bottles. So you get yeah.
Unless they're using the special hop oils that don't get isomerized or. Don't get skunked.
And, of course, I couldn't tell you. And that's a guy, we need to get him on the show because he could give us a lot of insight into the Big Bear world because he's a former Coors guy. But I completely got off topic. I was actually going to come back and say the beer that you're drinking, says it's from here, the brewer's here, but it's actually brewed elsewhere, that you thought initially it was going to be an IPA.
I did, and it poured very dark, and then you said, well, it's a red ale. And the bottle says that this inaugural brew in this limited release series is the Big Hoppy Monster. This mammoth imperial red ale leads with a tantalizing hop aroma that is quickly complemented by an enormous malt backbone. I don't get a ton of hops out of it, though.
No, I didn't. I mean, not really. Maybe it's got hops in it. I don't know what the IBUs are on it, but I don't like beers that have colors as part of their name, but I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed
it. Okay, we were talking about laying down bottles before.
Yeah.
So this beer says, best have enjoyed before, vintage 07 FX. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. But you're not in an 07, so.
Vintage 07 FX. I have no idea what that means. So.
Nor do I.
They're very obscure about when the beer was brewed and when it should be pulled from the shelves, which is a shame. They ought to have a big label on this. Do not drink this after XYZ date.
Use in salads. Well, My Reverend has warmed up a bit. And just going by the audio alone, it's been sitting in my glass for 20 minutes. But it's warmed up. There's virtually no foam left. It's still cool. And now I'm getting some serious sweetness on it. There were not any hops. The fruit taste is getting a lot more pungent and rich. It's still good, though. I'm still loving it. So
we should explain why Mike's not on the show. He's he's out doing business.
He is out whining and dining, and it sucks to be Mike Bond. Let me tell you, he's called me.
His clients, alcohol.
He called me. He says, "All right, I got to go out drinking with my clients, and I've been drinking with them at happy hour, and so I'll catch back." He's been checking in on me, and he was out with them, and he's got to have another hard day of partying and some sales meeting tomorrow, and then a golf outing. So it sucks to be him.
Life is tough for sales guys.
I know. But yeah, he's out in Knoxville, Tennessee, and wishing he was here. And tomorrow, I'm going to go to the barbecue, as we mentioned on the last show, and I think show before, I've alluded to this barbecue, and of course, it'll all be over with by the time this thing gets posted.
You are doing South Haven.
South Haven. I am going to do it. There was some, it was on the fence about whether I could do it or not, but I'm doing it. And, man, I'm looking forward to it. You know, just, I'm looking forward to this team, the Hogfathers. They've been around for a long time, and I think they got the right attitude. They're all accomplished, very skilled barbecue professionals. They've been on the Food Network. I've seen them.
They've got a stack of trophies.
Got a stack of trophies, yeah. And they got the rigs. They got the tools. But they are just completely cool. I said, okay, what's the plan? They said, well, we got 25 people coming. Very small number. And we're going to cook for them. And then we're just going to sit back and watch the crowds. I said, well, all right. that's the plan. No fuss. They got it all figured out when they're going to load the shoulders on, have them ready for turn in. I got to show up sometime tomorrow and get the grill set up and cook some chicken for my turn in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. But this is one of those weird things. Depending on the barbecue contest, you've got anything but, which is anything but pig. Some contest segment it into anything but fish category, beef category, chicken, etc. South Haven does it. It's just turn in whatever the hell you want. And I've got my pink sauce chicken. I have no name for this chicken. It's a bastardized version of an Alabama white sauce with some rub added to it. And I got a cooking technique that I do that I think helps make it. And maybe I'll post it on the website. I actually wrote 5 pages of exactly how to cook it. And I'll stick that on the website. But
we do need to mention to our listeners and people that frequent our site that we do need to do some maintenance on it. We got hacked.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the links are broken. We're trying to fix those. And we're going to open up the comment section.
Yeah.
Not that a lot of our listeners care to comment, but, you know.
And I notice that's kind of a trend on most of your beer podcasts. But just FYI, if you want to comment, of course, we love to hear from you. And it's very gratifying that some of our listeners have sent us emails saying, hey, we want to share some things. So they're turned back on. You have to go and log in now. I'm going to get this off as soon as possible, but those darn Rusky pornographers, you know, I got to give them credit for their ingenuity, but they're hacking me. So you've got to go and register to comment. We'd love to have your comments. Register, please.
And we don't put our email addresses on the website because we don't want bots to go collect them.
That's right.
But you can always write a note to rick@bigfoamyhead.com.
Right. And we'll put the comments on there. We definitely appreciate support. I'm glad you mentioned that. And we are kind of undergoing a little bit of change because it's about time. It's been 2 years since we – and everybody else has changed their website. So we're working on it. We get a little bit here, a little bit there, and it'll be – somewhat better, I guess.
I want to mention a new listener, or a listener that I recently met. He joined the Croc Homebrew Club. Chris Washenberg. So, welcome to Croc, and thank you for listening, Big Foamy Head.
Yeah, very nice. Always good to, you know, meet some of our folks. And coming up in August. All right, you're going to be here next week for our epic annual Memphis in May Throwdown. And in August, our friend from across the waters, the other side of the world, Joe Galea, the last band out of Vietnam, a blues singer extraordinaire, is coming to the States. His first time ever.
I might have to come back to Memphis.
That will be so cool. I'm trying to line up some gigs for him to just hang out and just get the culture in here. And but, I mean, the guy, you know, talk about a friend of the show. Joe's a great guy and extremely talented. Omar, the song I played earlier, that's what he and Joe kind of sound like. And right. That's going to be
Joe's
very
a
cool.
Huge fan of the Southern blues, even though he's, you know, on the other side of the world, literally. So he knows something about Delta blues.
He knows something about beer, too. He's had one or seven in his lifetime, and I'm looking forward
Victoria
to that.
Victoria Bitters, right?
Yeah. So it's going to be a big time in August when Joe gets here. It's going to be a big time when you get here. We got all kinds of good things. So I guess we started off, well, for most of the show, pretty dismal, but I guess we've got a few things to look forward to.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, so we got movies coming up. We got Iron Man.
The summer movies are coming out, so that'll be good. It's getting warmer here. What's the temperature like in Denver these days?
Nice. It's right around 60 degrees. You know, it's funny. My dad came out to visit me the other day, and Wednesday it was snowing, and by the time he got here, it was 70.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. We hit 84 the other day. Can you believe that? Oh, man. It's that crazy Memphis weather. And then I think we had a tornado or something. But and it rained for a little while today. And then the sun came out. Might have snowed sometime during the morning. I don't know. But life goes on, right?
Foamy Head weather report.
Yeah. Right. And here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
All right. Do we have any unfinished business? I know we were going to talk
Yes.
about that.
Old friend of show, Kenny.
Oh, Kenny. Right. He's the newest member of FedEx. So.
And congratulations. Yeah. Good for him. And we haven't promoted the flagship station of All Your Beer podcast. Beer Safari. It's a jungle of beer out there. And be sure to listen. You know what? I've noticed that since we've started this whole thing, and many of the others have come along with this, we've seen like a real nice evolution in all these beer podcasts. And on Beer Safari, you can't go wrong. I mean, there is not a single beer podcast on there that hasn't. Maybe they started off shit. Right.
Well, they've all withstood the test of time.
Exactly right. And they're all just bulletproof, great, wonderful to listen to. You know, we've gone through this entire show lamenting about this and that and bitching about healthcare for far too long and all of these things. But in the meantime, we throw in the little bit of beer knowledge and trivia. And that's one of the things that hopefully listeners get something out of it. Other than just being amused by our antics, such as they are. And, of course, we've got to throw a plug out to our best friend of the show, Phil, who's, you were telling me, that guy's gone nuts lately.
He's proliferous, man. The guy has been producing stuff. He did the final episode of Dude Night with his good friend, the fireman in California. And he's doing a show on Bobby Flay, Grill It. There's a website on the Food Network. If you would please go visit the Food Network. You have to the end of the May to do it. Vote for Phil.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put it.
Vote
we'll
everyone
put it
else down.
Yeah. Because I was looking at some of the people that were getting buzzed, and it's like, what the hell? I mean, Phil, he's got, you know, he's funny, he's entertaining.
Charisma,
and he's,
dynamic.
Yeah, and he's
great
cooking.
Recipe,
he's cooking. He's cooking a fantastic dish. It's not your mainstream you know, I will cook a hamburger. It's really, he said, the quackadillas that he creates, fantastic looking. I mean, he's cooking duck, for God's sake, on the grill. You know, you got to give the guy credit for originality, and he uses power tools. So there's a plus for me, is a supercharged Hemi-powered pepper grinder that he's got.
But, and I should mention that Johnny Max at the Brew Crazy. He's doing a great job out there. He's, you know, bringing up listeners, and he's always quite kind at the end of the show, and he gives a lot of shout-outs to all the other podcasters.
So, right. Absolutely.
Back at you, Johnny Max.
Yeah. I always appreciate Johnny Max and everybody. And that's just another one. Great from him and his dog, who may or may not be imaginary. And now he's got a whole crew of people in there with him.
Okay.
And,
Captain Ron is very real.
I know he's real. I'm kidding. At least there's a picture of him, right? I've never seen him in the flesh. So. Now, it's interesting times. And I guess that's the only thing we can say. So there may be plenty of reasons to drink to forget, but there's plenty of things to remember that's going on as we speak. So no sense in pissing away your time drinking swill beer. Drink good craft beer and try and dodge the bullets as they come best you can. And I've got a closer here for our musical outro, and this is Tabinois, one of my wife's favorites. Oh man, she just loves her some Tabinois. He's a very dynamic showman, and it's a shame that he won't be coming to Memphis in May. Which, by the way, Rick, I don't know how in the hell this happened. Jerry Lee is back.
He's still alive. We gave him the stink eye and everything.
I mean, we threw the mojo at him hard and heavy last year. He's opening for Aretha Franklin.
I got to see Aretha.
I know. We've got some just killer acts coming. And the blues tent is where, if you want to find your big foamy head, folks, that's our central headquarters. We radiate out from there. And, man.
Well, I put on the websites that we always meet at the Flying Saucer and have a beer beforehand. So
absolutely.
That's a good place to catch up with us, too.
Would love to see or talk to some of the folks out there and maybe get a little audio on the way in. So looking forward to that. And things will look up eventually. If not, well, what the hell can you do, right?
A little tap and why we'll go.
Alright. See you next time.
Drive safe.
I'm walking slow with a weary mind. She's dragging me low. I'm falling behind. You got me where you want me. Still I keep on trying, trying to see through the darkness between you and I. Sometimes it gets hard to find any love of any kind. Well, I'll turn on the love light before I go blind and pick me up off the ground. Let our hearts shine our way through the darkness between you and I. but I did you wrong. And we both made our choices. Now it's time to move on. So please, please forgive me. Oh, let's walk side by side, baby, and fill in the darkness. Oh, between you and I. Now let's do it now. Guys, y'all. LaRue.